Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. So good to have you with me once again. Welcome, and thank you for joining me for another installment in this series entitled The Absolute Power of Consecration. Amen. We give glory and honor, amen, to Yahweh himself. We give him all of the glory, all of the praise, and all of the honor, even as we come into his presence, even dedicating this episode and all of our life unto him. We are in the midst of perilous times in the history of mankind. So this is the absolute time. These are the absolute moments while we have a chance to rededicate ourselves and realign ourselves with the Spirit of God and attune our ears to his voice so that we understand the strict obedience and the instructions that he's given for this hour so that we might survive. And not just that, not just us, but we have to be in a place where we can pray strategically for our neighbors, for our children, for our friends, for those throughout the nations, because the enemy has placed a cloak of deception over the minds of the people, and they are now seeing right as wrong and wrong as right. They're now not understanding the ways of God. They're turning away from God and even making some of the works and the standard of holiness become as if they were criminal acts. So this is the time. This is the time that we must turn ourselves back to the Lord. The Hebrews use the word teshuvah. We must teshuvah, return to Yahweh. We must return and do our first works over. We must return, amen, and purify our hearts and cleanse our hands in his presence. We must return and put off our evil works renounce and denounce wickedness and all of its works so that we can hear the voice of the Lord. We need him. We need him to lead us and to guide us. We need him. Amen. He is our creator and he is our only hope. I know there's a lot of voices in the earth that call themselves hope. There's a lot of voices in the earth that says that it knows better. There's a lot of voices in the earth trying to pull us in different directions and seducing us with things that might give us power, things that might give us fame, things that might tantalize our flesh. But none of those things are the Spirit of God, and all of those things will lead to death. The Word of God tells us there's a way that seems right unto a man, those things that might tantalize, those things that feel good. It looks good before our eyes. It says, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And these are the things that are tantalizing and that are enticing our neighbors. These are the things that are tantalizing and enticing our friends and even us. Amen. The Word of God lets us know that even the elect of God could have been fooled by those things if it were not, amen, for a discernment, if it were not for consecration, for prayer and for fasting, for listening to the voice of the Lord, having our ears attuned to his voice. And listening carefully and patiently for us to instruct him. His word lets us know to trust in him with all of our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding. Now, the enemy would have us to lean to our own understanding. He wants us to define what looks good to us, but we want the Lord. We want Yahweh to define what is good for us, because what looks good to us could fool us. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to trick us into moving in a way that seems right, but at the end it is death. It is pure darkness. It will drag us into a place that we will not be able to recover ourselves. But if we take this opportunity even now to rededicate ourselves, to consecrate before the Lord, to seek his heart, we are seeking the heart of God. Not in this moment, we're not seeking his hand. We're seeking the heart of God in prayer. We're seeking the heart of God in fasting. We're rededicating our lives to him, reestablishing a right relationship with him. We are being realigned and repositioned by the Spirit of Yah, by the Spirit of God, so that we be in the right place and be positioned in the place he would have us to be even in this hour. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you as humbly as we know how, asking, oh God, that you move in us even now as we dedicate our minds, our souls, and our bodies unto you, as we dedicate this time period to you, even in this program. Father, we ask that you get the glory. We ask you, oh God, to open up your annals, Lord God, your windows of knowledge. Open up, Lord God, your wisdom and your understanding. Standing before us, give us your counsel in this hour, oh Lord, that we might understand the absolute power of consecration. And that absolute power, it is all in you, the almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipresent Elohim, the God of all the heavens and God of all the earth, oh God, the one who created all things and loves us with an everlasting everlasting love. We seek you and you alone, and ask you, Lord God, to help us, to heal us, to deliver us, to make us whole and entire. Father, we open ourselves up before you. We pour ourselves out before you, even as a drink offering, oh God. Oh, Lord, that you might make us over, that you, oh Lord God, the word says that you are the potter, we are the clay. Oh, Lord, that you might reshape us in the fashion that you would have us to be even in these end times. Lord, that we not only be able to survive, but that we be able to bring others into the kingdom with us. And that they, Lord God, will bring others into the kingdom, and so on and so forth. Father, move in us even now and help us, Lord, to establish, Lord God, your will in us, Lord, is why we're here, that you might take complete control in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. The absolute power of consecration. I don't really expect to be before you very long. Amen. I only designated a certain amount of time for this particular installment, and we give glory and honor to the Lord for every moment. The absolute power of consecration, that word absolute, it means complete and unequivocal, complete in a way that leaves no room for doubt. So consecration that leaves no room for doubt. I am absolutely dedicated. Amen. Absolutely committed to the holy standards of Yahweh. Our basic definition for consecration is the act of dedicating yourself to Yahweh in the name of Yeshua for his holy purpose. It's an unconditional surrendering. It's an unconditional surrendering. We're not telling God, I'll do this, but not that. There's no conditions involved. It's yielding ourselves to the heart of God before we receive from his hand and remaining in his employ. It's understanding we were bought with the ultimate price, and we are no longer our own, but we are created and redeemed for good works through Christ. Ephesians 2 and 10, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now look, this is what the Sefer Bible says. Same scripture, same chapter, same verse. It says it this way, for we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach, Yahusha, unto good works, which Elohim has before ordained that we should walk in them. The Father knows who are his. The word beforehand in the New King James Version and before ordained in the Sefer is translated from the Greek word priatoimazo, and it means prepared in advance, rendered as fit to receive. We were not an afterthought. All these things were written before we were born. We were not an afterthought. So as we're consecrated, we're striving for that place. Amen. We're striving to be perfected, amen, in the hand of Yahweh, amen, and to give him all of ourselves. We want his heart. all of his, and we want all of our hearts, amen, in his hand. Glory to God. Amen. Consecration keeps us steady and in alignment with the mind of Christ and the will of the Father. Prayer, fasting, and change of heart are required, as is a continual pattern of growth and transformation. Consecration requires repentance, a change in our set way of thinking, a yielding of our thoughts, words, behaviors, and patterns to the will of God. That Greek term metanoia means to change your mind, those deeply ingrained dogmas that stand in direct violation to the holiness of God literally has to die. Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before the entrance of sin, thoughts were pure, and Adam understood the will of God and wanted nothing more than to please God. This is the transformative power of repentance and consecration. It brings us back to his original intent, but unlike Adam, before sin had befallen him, unlike him, we have to war to remain in that place, and so we humble ourselves in his mighty presence and press past the objections of darkness to be who he has destined each and every one of us to be. Now, last Saturday, I mentioned that we will be talking about mindset and drive following our look at being set apart. And consecration is that. Remember, it is an act of dedication. It's commitment on steroids. It's us giving our all to God. It's an intimate, reciprocal relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the Creator of all things, with the South, with our the Lord of life, with the God of salvation, the God of truth, with the living word, with our living hope. Amen. It is an intimacy, just like the intimacy that you may share with your husband or with your wife. Amen. But it's on a greater level, because the intimacy that we share with the Father, the intimacy that we share with Yeshua, amen, it's going to enhance our other relationships. It's going to make them better. Amen. There was a time when Yeshua was in the earth and he was speaking to some disciples, and one of them, and Martin, may have been a few of them, asked him what was the greatest of the commandments. And he began to recite to them, and I don't have it in front of me right now, so I'm just going to tell you the best that from my memory. But he said to them, the first of the greatest commandments was to love the Lord your God, or love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all of your heart and all of your mind and with all of your strength. And he let them know that the second was like unto the first. In other words, they're both great commandments, and we must and we should be, amen, doing them with all of our strength. We should be loving the Lord. That's what that consecration, our dedicating, our realigning ourselves with his holy principles, and then realigning ourselves with his spirit and with his wisdom and instruction, realigning our minds with the mind of Christ. That's what we're doing when we're consecrating. We are loving him with all of our strength, with all our minds and with all our hearts. We're giving it all back to him, all of it. We're giving it to him. And then he said that second commandment was also as great. And it was to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, so many today think that it's selfish and for us to take a look, to do self-care. Amen. But it's important that we do that, because after we have poured out all of our heart, after we have poured out all of the word, after we have poured out everything that the Spirit of the Lord has given us to pour out to the people, we are drained. And we have to be refilled and refurbished. We have to be regenerated and refreshed. And that refreshing comes from the Spirit of the Lord. So sometimes we have to steal away for refreshing, because empty pitchers can't pour. Amen. And those that stand up and try to pour when they're empty, what they're pouring is not a pure word. It's tainted because they've not received refreshing. Oh, my God, help us, Father. Amen. But last week, let's go back. Last week, we were talking about mindset and drive. Amen. But we're still talking about consecration. Amen. Because where our mind is, how we think, amen, has to change. Amen. That's our ability to rededicate ourselves, because our mind has to change. And our repentance is part of that, because repentance is always going to be part of our consecration. When we come before the Lord, there's always going to be something that we just did not do, maybe because we didn't know to do it, or we didn't know how to do it, and we didn't know we should do it, or we didn't know we should not have done it. Whatever it is, we need to come before the Lord asking him to purify our hearts and our minds, asking him to wash us, asking him to make us whole and entire, and coming out of agreement with every wickedness. And then I found myself here lately being triggered by a great many things, but I also know that every time that I am triggered, it's an opportunity for deliverance, another opportunity for cleansing, another opportunity to grow. And so the Lord, he does that. And then for every plant, for every branch that is in Yeshua, he is the vine. We are the branches. And for every branch that is in Yeshua, we have to be purged from time to time, because there are things, amen, that were there in the, there were things in the branch that should not have been there. There are things that prevent the branch from growing up. Sometimes the branch grows crooked, or it grows out, or it grows down in a place where it can't receive sunlight. So there are times when we have to be purified and purged, and those triggers do that, because I found that there were things that come up from time to time that I didn't realize were still there. There were things that I thought I had reckoned with, things that I thought I had already dealt with, things I thought that I was delivered from. But what actually had happened is when we did pray, we most certainly have prayed, and I did pray, amen, some of those demonic holds were released. Oh, yes, and I received release. And because I received release, I thought I was released, amen, but there was still a stronghold present. And so there's the trigger. Glory to God. Amen. But you know, our Lord, he is faithful and he is true, and he would not have us to have not any evil among us. So he will prune us from time to time, and he will deliver us from those things that hinder us, and those things that cause us to be dirty in an area, those things that cause wrinkles and stains. He will get out that spot remover. He will iron out those things. And sometimes reliving those things, especially if they were past events that triggered us, can be very painful. But go through the pain. Go through the purging. It's important for your consecration, because we're rededicating and realigning ourselves with this truth, amen. And we need it. We need a pure word to come forth in us and from us. We need the purified word to come out of you, amen. So we must rededicate and realign ourselves with the Lord. And it does matter, our mindset and our drive. So what sets a person apart? Amen. We're talking about mindset and drive. What sets a person apart is the Holy Spirit for his holy purpose. And we thrive. And how we thrive has to do with mindset and drive. Mindset is an established pattern of thinking held by someone that is either fixed or growth oriented, and it can also be fixed and growth oriented. And hopefully, in order to be a well-balanced individual, you must have some things that are fixed and some things that absolutely are growth oriented. Now, the way we process information is based on experiences, it's based on our values, and based on our beliefs. And that information becomes established as our thought patterns. Our way of thinking is our mindset. There's a scripture, and I believe it's the King James Version. It's in Proverbs 23:7, and it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's take a closer look at that scripture, because I found this interesting. Amen, that the King James Version actually translated it the way that it did. And because of the way it translated it, it kind of changed what it meant. But I'll let you be the judge of that, because I want you to go back and take a look at all these things yourself and pray through even everything that you hear Amen. Because you need the Lord to talk, speak to you for yourself. Scripture tells us that we each have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't be dependent on each other for everything. We have to hear the Lord for ourselves, and his word and his works must be established in each of us individually, because we will go before him alone. Our pastors will not stand with us. The prophet will not stand with us. The apostle will not stand with us when we come into the presence of the Lord. When that time comes, we will stand alone. So we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, they can help us. Yes, they're there to usher us into his presence. Yes, they're there to give us words of encouragement and empowerment and correction, admonishment. Yes, they're there to push us, but they're not our God. We have to work out our own salvation. They're not the Savior. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling ourselves, each of us. Now, let's look at Proverbs 23 and 7. And it says that word thinks in the King James is translated from the Hebrew word sha'er. And that word means calculate, to split open, to estimate or to reckon, or figuratively to estimate, or and it says to figuratively to estimate means to think. And they chose to translate it as to think. Okay, so the King James word uses the word think, but when we see it in a different version, it's a little clearer. So in the Hallelujah Scriptures, it says it this way: for as he reckons in his life, so is he. So as he calculates his life, and this is me, as he calculates his life, or as he values, or the value he places on his life, so is he. Because that word calculates, actually, it is talking about calculations as in worth. Amen. As he calculates at worth, his worth, as he calculates his worth or his value, the value he places on his life, so is he. So whatever value that you place on your life, it is going to be how you think about yourself. So it's not wrong in that respect, but it did not give it the impact that this does. The value we place on our life certainly affects how we think. Our value is priceless to Yeshua, and he paid the ultimate price so that we can come to a place of right fellowship with the Father. Our thoughts of the old way, our old way of thinking, our sinful way, the cultural indoctrinations, religious dogma, it has to change. And it absolutely does. As our minds are renewed, so are our thoughts in the Holy Spirit. The wisdom in Proverbs 23 and 7 is part of a discourse warning about someone who doesn't know who they are and thus devalues themselves and you. But we know who we are. We know that we are the children of Yahweh. We know that Yeshua is our Redeemer. And we understand the great value of the sacrifice that he has made. And we understand that we are loved with an everlasting love. And it is that love that leads us. And that same love is leading us into our rededication. This knowledge and wisdom is what carries us and becomes our drive for consecration. The creator of all things, the author of life and love, values me so much that he wants reciprocal relationship with me. His original intent was that we be in right fellowship with the Father, the Almighty God, Wonderful Counselor, the Might, the Everlasting Father, with the Prince of Peace. This is our driving force for our consecration. Amen. To be in an intimate space, intimate, reciprocal relationship with the Creator of life, the one who holds all things in his hand, the one who is our defender and our protector. He's our preservation. He's our life sustainer. He is our living hope, and there is no hope without him. This is our driving force as we seek to draw closer to his heart even before we ask of his hand. Amen. This is our driving force for our consecration. It's his heart we crave. It's his heart we long for. the term drive. It refers to what propels us and carries us along by force in a specific direction. It is what motivates us to move when we're weary. It's the zeal that propels us when nobody else understands. It's the passion that pushes us regardless of the circumstance, no matter how hard it looks or how long it takes. It's the determination to fight on and to persevere. It's our driving force, because surely the zeal of Yahuwah will perform this. Amen. This is our session. Amen. This week's session on the absolute power of consecration. Amen. Continue to join me as we get deeper and deeper. Amen. And we even go and hopefully you're having times of consecration that you will increase incrementally throughout the days and weeks ahead. Amen. Times that are just you and the Lord, where you are speaking to him and rededicating yourself to him, rededicating your time, even try giving him. The word talks about a tithe, a 10% of our increase. I mean, why don't we give him 2.5 hours of our 24-hour day? Why don't we do that? Give him, amen, 2.4. That would be more like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Why don't we try that, or even split it in half and make it a goal to get there and even go further? Because there may be times that the Lord will carry us into prayer, and we might pray 3 or 4 hours and then have another 3 or 4 hours in study, when he takes us into deep studies where he's given us revelation of our word and he's actually blowing our minds and turning things upside down that we thought we knew already. That is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give us the secret from his throne. He wants to give us revelation of the things that are ahead of us. We are in the last days. He wants to give us strict instructions for ourselves and even how to align our families so that we will survive the days to come. He wants to tell us what things we need to stock up, what things we need to have on hand. He wants to show us how to protect our homes and protect our bodies. He wants to tell us what to eat and what not to eat and what things to drink. He wants us to pray even over our foods and over the air, because there are so many things happening right now. And our consecration, it is important. We need to get to the point where we are 24/7 consecrated before the Lord, not just moments in time. Some people say they consecrate once a week for an hour, some for a whole day, and others, amen, are constantly there, 24/7 consecrated before the Lord, and that's our goal, amen, to be just totally sold out, totally consecrated before him, so that he can use us in any way that he chooses at any time. Amen. So that he can move us through dimensions and through levels, so that he can speak to us. Amen. No matter where we are, and tell us where to go and what people we ought to speak to. Amen. So that he can give us detours and tell us what places he would have us to do, what things we ought to read, what things we ought to set up, and what things we ought to put down. Amen. This is the season where we need to be constantly before the Lord, amen, getting instruction for him to remold and remake us, to establish us in his will, amen. Let it be so in the name of Yeshua, even in the midst of us. God bless and God keep each and every one of you until next week. I believe next week we'll be talking about repentance in more detail. God bless you till then. Amen.